What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 332, and this week's podcast is brought to you by the Patriot Viper VPR400, which is this M.2 SSD right here. This, as you can, well, you can't see because it's not on, obviously, but it does have RGB lighting. It's a Gen 4 NVMe SSD, and it is super fast as well, being Gen 4. Of course, it does come with RGB lighting, which is really cool. So if you want to add a little bit of bling to the inside of your system, check this drive out. Again, thinkcomputers.org/VPR400 and get yourself one of these cool drives. And of course, with me is my co-host, Ryan. What's going on, man?
Not much. How's it going with you?
I'm very tired. We talked about before that got on the podcast. I haven't been going to the gym. Yeah, it's just, you know, in my advanced age, it catches up with me. This whole not going to the gym thing. So, but no, it's been a busy week. I have a review dropping tomorrow. That's like a launch review. So I've been working on that. And then we have a review dropping next week, which is also a launch review. And it's of a product type that I haven't reviewed in a while. So I'm pretty excited for that as well. Lots of stuff going on. Summer's coming to an end. A lot of people are talking about that.
That Think Computer shirt on too, I see.
I do have a Think Computer shirt. Yeah.
I need to get a t-shirt of it. I've got my hoodies right here, but I need a t-shirt.
I do need to, I need to get a couple more of these because we have them in different colors. Yeah. As well. If you guys, if you go to thinkcomputers.org/merch, you can pick up one of these t-shirts. And I believe we only have them available in this like super soft, which is like, I think this is like the Tri Blend, which is a slightly more expensive, but the actual feel of the shirt is better. Like I'm sure you've gotten like swag shirts from like different companies or whatever, or even like an insurance company, or like, you know, like you know you're out at some fair
event,
you get a shirt and like the quality is just, it feels like you're wearing like, I don't even know, like cardboard or something.
Some of them are still like, so those like heavy duty like hefty shirts, and you're like, god, this thing weighs so much, and it's just so thick and hot. And then others, some of them are like thin and rough. Those are kind of
these are like I said too, these are kind these of are like good. They're kind of like a Tri Blend. They fit well. I like them, and like I said, we have a bunch of different colors too, so the logo will be the same color, and then you can get them in a bunch of different colors if you guys want to, you know, rep Think Computers. And again, they're comfortable t-shirts, so maybe we'll get a bunch and we'll give them away in the podcast. Like I'll have them here and then I'll ship them out to some of our listeners, because something to do. So
cool,
because like I said, we haven't had a contest. We have some contests coming up that I haven't launched yet, but we can just, you know, get some swag for some people, and maybe we'll get some stickers and some other stuff that we have. Kind of, I have a bunch of swag laying around here, so maybe we'll go ahead and do some of that kind of stuff. If you guys are in the live stream, definitely, you know, drop in, say hi. And if you guys do want to follow along, whether you're in the live stream now or you're listening, of course, later, we do have our full show notes page that has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. So you can go ahead and follow along and click through as we're talking about these different stories here. And the first thing that we're going to talk about is, of course, our reviews. And I took a look at two storage products, two completely different storage products as well. The first one is the Lexar SL660 Blaze. And when I think of Lexar, I think of this is not a Lexar one, but
thumb drives and SD cards.
Yeah, but
we've reviewed a couple of their items though recently.
Yeah, so recently they've kind of branched out into more gaming centric products. We reviewed a couple different DDR4 and DDR5 kits that do have RGB lighting. So again, gaming centric. And now we have this portable SSD, which I do have here, so I can give you guys an idea of the size. And don't mind, my handprints are all over it. That's one of the downsides of this drive, because it has it's made of aluminum, so it spots up. Yeah, it spots up pretty easily, but pretty small, definitely pocketable, single USB type C. It's USB 3.2 Gen 2x2, so it's rated for 2000 megabytes a second read, 1900 megabytes a second write. So that's going to be pretty much fast for anything. Whether this, you know, their main idea for this is a game drive. That's what they market it as. But if you're doing video editing, it's going to be able to handle 4K, 6K video with that type of speed, no problem. It's going to, you know, like I said, portable game drive, whether you're editing photos, a bunch of different stuff. You can obviously run apps. If you can run games off this, you can obviously run different apps off this as well. Just a great little drive. So I took a look at this, and I really like it for a couple different reasons. One of the main reasons is it does come with this little travel pouch, which I like. I'm one of those people that, even though this is made of like a nice aluminum, I like to keep my gear like looking nice, especially if it's like a travel drive. Like, I wish I had.
I'm the same way. Like, I don't like my electronics getting scuffed
up. Yeah, I have a couple older drives that were like my travel drives, and they got all scratched up, and I just didn't, I don't know. You just, you know, so you do get the travel pouch, which I really like. And it also does come with a Type-C cable and a Type-C to Type-A, because so many people, their device might not have a Type-C, you know. So it just makes it easier, and it makes it backwards compatible. You take this over to your parents' house, your grandparents' house. They don't have a new computer with a type C. So you get the type C to type A cable, which is pretty nice as well. The drive does have RGB lighting, which if you're making a gaming product makes sense, but it's pretty cool. And it comes with a stand as well. So you can see it here on the stand. It's just a simple plastic stand, nothing special about it, but it allows you to display the drive. And with the RGB lighting, we always talk about like adding something to your setup, right? You want your setup to look cool. You want people to be like, oh, what's that cool thing sitting there? This is kind of like one of those things. So it allows you to display the drive, and then you get the RGB lighting. The RGB lighting, you can't control it. It just, you know, goes through a bunch of different colors. Yeah, I'm kind of bummed about that. But it's one of the few drives out there, especially in this category as far as speed, a USB 3.2 Gen 2x2. You know, it's one of the few that has RGB lighting. So I do like that. And I do like the stand. Go ahead.
So that stand, is it heavy enough? Like that when it's on your desk, it doesn't slide around at all or anything.
Does it, have, like, it won't slide around, but it doesn't, the drive doesn't lock heavy into it. It kind of just sits in there. So if you move the cable around, it will fall over. Yeah.
See, it's not like it's also a missed opportunity to like have it be a dock for the thing, right? Like, it'd be so awesome to be able to stick that on there. And if you have like more than one, swap them out type of thing. Anyhow.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. It's a step in the right direction for sure. Especially like, again, these game centric drives with RGB lighting, things that you might want to display, you get it. You know, you're able to display it. It does come with software, Lexar Data Shield, which allows you to set backups, allows you to protect certain files, things like that. Yeah, it's pretty simple software, but it does work. So definitely something, you know, a lot of these drives don't come with anything. So you get this software there. And then looking at speeds, I mean, again, rated for 2000 read and 1900 write, as you can see here, Crystal Disk Mark, you know, pretty much up to those speeds. ADA system test is typically always lower, but again, very, very good speeds there. And then we also ran AS SSD benchmark, as well as the ADO disk benchmark. And again, very, very good scores here. You know, as far as like comparisons, it's in the top of our USB 3.2 Gen 2x2 drives that we've tested. So it has the speeds. It's made very well, which I really like. It has the RGB lighting, which I do like. But as Ryan said, and as I also pointed out in the review, you can't control the RGB lighting, which is a bit of a bummer. It would have been nice if they, you know, some way to do that within the software. But I do like it. It's a very well-made drive. It will probably end up being like one of the drives that I use on a pretty regular basis, just because I like it. And the only thing I don't like also is it's available in 512 and 1 terabyte versions. But again, if they're marketing this as a gaming drive, you would think that there would be a 2 terabyte, because again, games are big. If you're using this as an actual gaming drive, you'd want 2 terabyte, I would think. So that's the other downside. I gave it a 9 out of 10. It's $149.99 for the 1 terabyte version. Yeah, that's pretty much it. So definitely go ahead and check the review out. I really like it. And I think Lexar's doing some good stuff. Pretty much impressed with the last 3 products we've taken a look from them. So
can you turn the LEDs off?
No, you cannot. That was old man in the chat. So no, you can't turn the LEDs off. As soon as you plug it in, it, you know, that's kind of a downside, I guess I would say, but.
And also, yeah, I would agree that I think Lexar is making moves in the right direction. Some of their first stuff, I was kind of like, really? Like Lexar getting into this game? But every product that we've like subsequently looked at seems to be improving on previous items.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think that's good. You know, there are other companies that make very gaming-centric products, but Lexar is a newcomer. Again, every generation we're seeing better products come out. So like I said, I like it. I would definitely recommend it if you're looking to get a portable SSD and you want something that, you know, again, we have all of these other ones that I have just sitting here. Like, you know, you want something that doesn't, that just has a little bit more flash, and the, you know, the SL660 Blaze has a little bit more flash, I would say. So, so check out that review. I took a look at a Gen 4 NVMe SSD from Silicon Power, who we don't review a ton of their stuff, but this drive I'm actually incredibly impressed with. I think this is a drive that you could outfit your entire system with pretty affordably too. Good overall speeds. So this is their UD90. It's powered by the Phison E21, which is a 4-channel controller, and Micron 176 layer 3D TLC flash. Rated speeds of 4,800 megabytes a second read and 4,200 megabytes a second write. So again, when it comes to Gen 4, not the fastest, right? But it's going to give you solid performance at those speeds, which I really like. And this is a simple M.2. We're not going to go over too much. There's no heatsink included with this. Again, most of your motherboard, you know, if you're selling this on a motherboard, it's going to have an M.2. You know, if you're in the last couple of generations, it's going to have an M.2 heatsink. So you'll be pretty good on that front. So it's single-sided too. So if you are going to install this in a thin and light device, you wouldn't have any issues or anything like that. And let's go to our performance. And it was kind of interesting because in some of these tests, it went well above its rated speeds. So here we can see in Sandro Physical Disk, 4.3 gigabytes a second read, which is right up to the specs. And then write is 2.3, a little bit slower there. But if we go to Adadisk benchmark, the read goes really, really high for some reason in this test. And I ran this test like 7 times because I was like, this can't be right. Because they rate the drive at, again, at 4,800 or 4.8 gigabytes a second. And we're getting, you know, maxing out at 6.53. And then I looked at other reviews and it was the same thing. In specific tests, it just did better. I don't know if it's because I'm testing on a newer system. Like I'm testing on a Z590, you know, system. Or Z690 system, I'm sorry. So I don't know if that's the reason. But then again, under the writes, again, you're at 4.7, 4.69, 4.53. So really good performance there. I didn't mention this is a completely DRAM-less drive. So there's no SLC cache on the actual drive itself. DRAM-less drives are very much entry-level or low-cost drives, which this drive is, you know, made to do. But if you look at some of these tests, I mean, it's performing, again, 5,000 read, 4,600 write in Crystal Disk Mark, 4,100 read and 4,100 write in ASSSD benchmark. Even if we go over to our linear tests in A64, I mean, you can see it's just solid, completely solid read performance. And again, the read performance Average read performance in this test is 6,000 or 6 gigabytes a second, which again is over a gig a second faster than its rated speed. And this is reading the entire drive. So that's very, very impressive. And then this is even impressive too. So a lot of drives with no, you know, completely DRAM-less drives, their linear write will drop like, the, you know, you see the drop in performance here. It will drop out between maybe 5 and 10%. So it'll drop right here. But you get pretty much to about 25% of the drive filled before you get, you know, any performance drop, which is really impressive for a DRAM-less drive. This has a lot to do with the controller itself, the Phison E21. We've tested a bunch of Gen 4 M.2 NVMe drives, and they all use that InnoGrit controller, the Phison controller. This beats all of those drives in every one of the tests that we've run. And it's using the same type of NAND as those as well. So the controller definitely makes a difference. I would say if you're looking for an entry-level, low-cost Gen 4 drive, this is definitely it. You're going to see a lot of performance. And again, we did see performance above what it was rated. So I think that definitely speaks volumes towards this drive as well. It didn't get that hot. I did run some tests, and it didn't overheat or anything like that without a heatsink on it either. So you won't have to worry about that. Just a simple drive, $89.99 for 1 terabyte. 5-year warranty as well, which is really good for an entry level. Typically, you see 3, you have 5-year warranty here. It's available, I believe, 256, 512, 1 terabyte. Again, no 2 terabyte available as of yet. I don't know if they're going to come out with one later. But really good. This is like a good, solid drive. I gave it a 9 out of 10 and recommended award if you're looking for a Gen 4 drive in this performance bracket, in this price bracket. You're going to find this is going to be a really solid performer, and I was really impressed with it. So yeah, go ahead and check that out as well. In the chat, I didn't shout out. Nelson is in the chat. He said, hello from Florida, made it to class, let the learning begin. Well, hopefully.
Is that learning from the class or learning from us?
Yeah, learning from us. Yeah. Questionable. Both are questionable.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. But good to see you here. Hopefully maybe you're listening or watching while you're in class. Who knows? And then old man, he said, I notice game downloads are smaller when I install on my M.2, at least on Steam. For instance, Steam will say it needs 44 gigabytes when it actually installs 35 gigabytes. That's interesting. I don't know why that is. Do you know why that
is? Unless it's the you know, like some companies will say, you know, a gigabyte is 1,000 megabytes as opposed to 1024, right? And then you get those discrepancies.
Or like there's other parts of the installer
that they don't count as the install.
That they don't count as the install. So once that's done, it removes those certain files, maybe.
Right. It might need that larger space while installing, but then can get rid of some. Possibly.
Yeah, or something. I don't know how that works, but that's definitely something to it's good for pointing that out. Because again, if you it could save you some space as well. You know what I mean? Yeah. You think, oh man, I only have 40 gigabytes and then it's 35, but who knows? Let's move on to Case Mod Friday, and that is where we of course highlight a build that's been done in the community. And this thing is just a monstrosity.
Monster.
It is huge. It's one of the craziest Corsair 1000D builds that I've seen. Just look at this.
I like this color combo too.
Yeah, the color combo is really cool.
Neon orange looks really good.
I believe those are Corsair fans as well, that you can light the inner ring and the outer ring different colors so that you can do really cool stuff that looks like this. So, And I really like how they built out the channeling and all of that too.
It
really
looks like this huge GPU. that's pretty sweet.
And all the channeling that's built in over here. Of course, insane amounts of, did they list the water cooling? So yeah. So 2 480 millimeter radiators, 2 360 millimeter radiators on there. And you can see all of them. I mean, it's just like this, just monstrosity. And 1000D is like a really, really big case too.
It is not a very big case.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a small case by any means. Yeah, it's kind of cool. I don't think we've seen something like this where, like, you know, we see RGB and maybe one color or the coolant's one color and then something else. But I really like how, like, the RG or the memory and the power cables are like this neon color. And then they right. match that with the inside of the fan, but then the outside of the fan sort of matches all of the coolant and everything else. I really like that. It's pretty cool.
And is this two loops?
I believe separate so, yes.
for the GPU? Because the coolant looks a little different, like a little darker for the GPU and a little lighter for the CPU.
Possibly. It's hard to tell.
Yeah.
But very cool build. This is done by, I didn't shout out to Poor Greek Builds. That's who did this one. We featured a couple of their builds before. But yeah, look at this like custom plate that has the cutouts that go through, you know.
I like that angle they did out of the CPU or the, I guess, the motherboard water block. Just that angle that goes back towards the back of the case and then shoots back to the front. I like that.
Yeah, that's cool. Very, very well done. I like it. It's this. How much do you think this weighs?
A lot. Like, because it just, I mean, fans alone, like, there's how many fans in this? 4, 8, 12, 16.
I mean, 4, 8, 12,
22, 16. 27, well, double, 20, 29, 20, like
16. Yeah, there's, yeah. So to say, like, those are like the expensive Corsair fans.
I know, just
fans how much alone. Money is in fan, like,
hundreds and hundreds yeah. of dollars.
$500 in fans at least.
Oh, easily. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty crazy. But yeah, like I said, really good. I really like the color, and you can even see he made the, the MSI Dragon logo, which Ryan hates for some reason. he made it that neon color as well, which I really like. Very cool stuff though. But yeah, definitely check this out. Good stuff from Poor Greek Builds. And we always have Case Mod Friday, of course, every Friday. So if you want to check it out, you just go on the website, go to articles, and then you go to Case Mod Friday. And then there's how many pages? How many pages
there was a do you lot.
Think we have? At least
it's 50 like pages? 60. Yeah.
52 pages. All right. 52 All right. pages of builds. So there's a lot on there. If you want to go ahead and check out builds, we have so much stuff on there. So let's go to news. And there was this massive story. Well, actually, we'll talk about one story before that first. It came out, I think, late last week. Intel was at a conference, and they said that they're going to expect to lose market share to AMD on the CPU front and might exit other businesses as well. You know, they're not necessarily as competitive with AMD as far as, you know, they completely changed how they design their processors. We're going from the performance core, you know, going from just straight cores to performance cores and efficient cores.
Right.
That's been a big change. And then AMD has been incredibly aggressive on core counts, on multi-threading. So, you know, in a lot of our CPU testing in the past, AMD has always beaten out Intel on multi-thread a lot of the time. And AMD has been very competitive, not only on prices of their processors, but the platform has been less expensive. That might change with the Ryzen 7000, as we'll get into. But yeah, it's just been a bunch of bad press for Intel.
Yeah, yeah.
And just recently, they completely ditched the Optane. They just completely sold off the Optane group. So Intel Optane is completely no more. And that was pretty sudden as well. I think investors and everybody are very concerned with Intel. So that's kind of like the first kind of bad press story for Intel. And this next one is really kind of what we're into. Intel Arc, if you remember, it was supposed to launch last year. Never did. It's slowly being rolled out first in China. People have already got their hands on the A380. It's nothing great. It's like $130 or $40 card. The people that have reviewed it had issues with drivers, which is one of the most annoying things when it comes to graphics cards. Sure. is driver issues. It's been delay after delay. They're not competing at the super high end right now. Their A770 ARC graphics card, that will be their top end card for this first generation. It's only going to be competitive with the RTX 3070. And obviously you have AMD going to be coming out with new cards. And of course, NVIDIA this month is going to be announcing cards too. So things haven't been looking great for Intel. And a report from, who is this from?
Was it from Moore's Law?
Yeah, Moore's Law is dead. Huge YouTuber. Check out his channel. His report claims that Intel ARCs could be canceled already. He said that effectively ARC is canceled. He said, once Alchemist is out, that's this generation, you should be surprised if they do anything besides maybe some limited reproductions of low volume early next year, and that's basically it. There are high-level discussions going on regarding the cancellation of dedicated desktop ARC cards. Data center will stay for now, but the dedicated gaming card line may be canceled before Celestial even gets a chance. So for those who don't know, we have ARC Alchemist, which is the current generation. The after that will be ARC Battle Mage, and then after that is supposed to be ARC Celestial. Now, he has him and as well as Igor's lab says that they've talked to people with inside Intel, and they've all said it's done, it's over, it's going to be canceled. Also, Igor's lab said they've been talking to potential distributors and manufacturers in around Europe about Intel ARC cards, and there wasn't much interest from these, say, like AIBs and other people, because they couldn't give any price guarantees to these companies. They also says their RMA and return policies were far worse than, say, AMD or NVIDIA, which doesn't look good for them. Also, Intel CEO recently revealed that the company would not meet its internal target of selling 4 million ARC GPUs this year. Definitely a big letdown for the company. And like I said, from the previous story, you know, Intel basically just like ended the Optane group completely. And they were, Optane was showing new products like 2 months ago. So we don't really necessarily know what's going on. Even on ARC, like, we haven't talked to Intel at all about ARC. They haven't sent us anything. All the news we get on ARC comes from, you know, other sources. We don't get sent decks or anything from Intel on ARC at all. So we don't know anything. But it was really interesting because I wrote this story, and then literally a few hours later, I got an email from a PR company that represents Intel kind of refuting all of these claims made in all of these reports, which is kind of interesting, again, because we don't, on the GPU side of things, we've never worked with Intel. We're not, you know, they don't work with us on the GPU side of things. So it was really interesting to get an email from, you know, a PR company representing Intel telling us that none of this is true. And all they did basically was point us to a few tweets by Raja, who of course left AMD to go to Intel. And he pointed us to these tweets, which we will go over. And they said they have no further comments on it, you know. And the first tweet was, you know, Raja saying, you know, posting a picture of an ARC A770, which is going to be their high-end card. And he says, bumped into this beauty in Toronto, volume validation lab, getting ready for launch. So they're, you know, they're getting ready to finally launch this GPU. And then somebody, of course, replied to this and said, what's this? I've been hearing about Intel potentially bringing the axe down on Intel ARC after just two generations. And then he said, we are, and then the emoji for like, confused, you know, not confused about these rumors as well. They don't help the team working hard to bring these to market. They don't help the PC graphics community. One must wonder, who do they help? We are still in first gen, and yes, we had more obstacles than planned to overcome, but we persisted. And then somebody else commented on this and said, the rumor looks to be about next gen or possibly generation after. No one claimed that Alchemist was canceled. Do you have a comment on the on future architectures and Intel's commitment to them? And then attached, Raja said, attached is what we had said in February 2022, and we are continuing to execute this strategy. And if you look at the tweet, which I'm bringing up here, it's their visual compute roadmap that shows, you know, Arc Alchemist in 2022, Arc Battle Mage in 2023-24, and Arc Celestial in, you know, 2024 plus. Now, after that, there were no further like questions or comments from other people. The interesting thing that I want to say is they just show, you know, Celestial, that, you know, it says Celestial, it says Battle Mage, but we don't know if that is just an architecture or that's an actual GPU.
Yeah.
Like it could be an Arc Celestial tile GPU on a CPU, right? It could be integrated graphics on that architecture, right? And that was never
specified.
It was never specified. It was never specified. It was never clarified. And that's the thing that I'm kind of wondering about is there's this, you know, massive, obviously, PR campaign to quash these rumors. We're not a massive website, and they reached out to us almost, like I said, almost immediately. It was like 2 hours after I wrote the story and published it, which is kind of interesting. And again, there's no, it makes sense for them to kind of squash these rumors because who's going to invest in, you know, either this generation or next generation of these Arc GPUs if you know they're not going to be around.
Yep.
Maybe as us as cool like tech collectors, yeah, like maybe we're like, you know, it's going to be gone, you might want it, but like as a serious gamer, are you going to invest money in an Intel Arc card over an AMD or an Nvidia card? Because you know AMD and Nvidia pretty much aren't going anywhere, you know,
right?
But well, as you
go ahead. Even like spooking investors or, you know, shareholders, that if that news got out, you know, and that, what does that do to your business? Financials and everything. But yeah, I agree. Like if this was, you know, this is a rumor you want to squash, because yeah, who wants to buy that card that's the one of, and then they're like, ah, well, this is the only driver you're going to get because we're not messing with these things anymore. That's not a good position to be in.
Yeah. And it's, you know, and again, it makes sense why they're trying to squash these rumors, but they never specify. And I even emailed the Intel person back and I go, can you comment on if by next generation you mean that it's going to be a discrete GPU? And they said, we have nothing further to say on stuff. So again,
I didn't want to give you the scoop.
Yeah. And again, I, as a consumer, as a gamer, we want a third option, right? We
absolutely
want, and if any company, if there's any company out there that could do it, it would be Intel. It's taken them billions of dollars of R&D to get this, you know, the Intel Arc GPUs out. Third option means more competition between the companies and more competition on price, which brings prices of these products down. We like this. We want Intel to succeed at this. It's just very questionable if they're going to be able to pull it off. And I think with them, again, just axing the Optane team and really focusing on what makes money. And sadly, gaming GPUs don't make a ton of money. It's all about integrated stuff and, you know, other things for Intel that make a lot more money than this, this part of the company. So if, and again, I assume this part of the company is bleeding money. Because of all the
R&D. Until they can get a product out, you know, and actually start recouping.
And again, you know, all of the shareholders are looking at that. Their executive team is looking like, you know, you're bleeding money, all this stuff. So it's going to be interesting. I don't know what do you think as and everything that I kind of just said, what do you think is the deal with Intel Arc?
I mean, I saw the story, like, and I don't know if I tipped you off on it, but I sent you a message. I was like, Intel Arc dead, you know, type of thing. I had the same sentiment as you, right? A third player is going to be good in this game. I don't know. I feel like some these rumor mills, you know, sometimes do they just throw it out there because it's a slow news day and just like, oh, or just I to heard get traffic. This, or, yeah. you know, just to get to generate traffic, right? And then Intel's like, oh my gosh, can we catch a break? Like, now we got to go reach out to everybody spreading this to try and squash it. But we also can't tip our hat too much to what our future plans are, right? You know, they're in a tough spot in either situation, right? Either having to quell a rumor that ultimately isn't true, and you just don't want that fake false information out there, or trying to keep things under wrap to, you know, keep things from unraveling and falling apart. So I lean actually more towards them continuing on with discrete graphics.
I would like to see it. I'm just in this day and age and how much money they've lost as a company over the past few years, especially in, you know, and this is a very costly thing. And again, new CEO recently, new executive team recently. That's really good from what I, you know, everything that I've read. And again, I haven't read into it a lot, that they're focused on obviously making money and making money for their shareholders. I'm like 60-40, 60% it's going to be 40% inside. I'm like, that's how close I am. I'm pretty, you know, I'm not 50-50. I'm 60% it's going to go through. 40% is not.
40 is still a pretty big number.
Yeah, I mean, I asked a specific question to somebody at, you know, who's they wasn't somebody at Intel. It was a specific, it was a PR person, and they said they had nothing to say about it.
Right.
That's, you know, and again, other people that I've talked to, you know, in the industry, friends of ours, said they've got the same answer. So nobody knows. Then they can't, you know, not being able to answer that question is. It's concerning. Again, if you want to invest in something, and again, when you're investing in a graphics card, it's something that you're going to have, unless you're upgrading every couple of years. I mean, it's something you're going to have for 5-6 years. So if the product line is dead after 2 years, how long are they going to keep on updating the drive? You know what I mean? Like,
right. That's what I'm saying. Like, do you just get, oh, here's our launch driver. And by the way, we've canceled this. So that's the only one you're getting.
Yeah, and then new game comes out, doesn't even work.
It like, you know work what I mean? With it, yeah.
Yeah. So those are the things to think about. Again, at the end of the day, I think both Ron and I want there to be a third player.
Absolutely.
And especially in the high end space, you know. But we'll see what happens. But it's very interesting, and these rumors kind of blew up the internet this past week. So we shall see. Also, talking about leaks and rumors, so much RTX 4090 leaks this week. Yeah, so if you are interested. About RTX 4090. I'm going to try to go through these decently quick. Lots of leaked pictures. So the first one were of Zotac cards, which actually I kind of like the looks of these compared to previous generations that we've seen. So this is supposedly RTX 4090 Amp Extreme Aero, A-I-R-O, which is a new, I believe, a new product line. From them, this picture right here was released. This look, and I've been to, actually, I've been to the where probably the same place where this card was made, because I've been to the Zotac factory, the PC partner factory where these are made. It looks like what I saw. But this is supposedly, we assume this is from a one of the factories. And we can see some things. One, this kind of circular design of this card. I like it. I don't know about you.
Everything's so angular, right? Everything seems so angular and like sharp and just like these bold, you know, lines. I like this rounded look on that backplate and the cooler shroud. Yeah.
Yeah. I like it. One thing to note, and you'll see in a couple of these other pictures too, this text is not the same font as the normal standard GeForce text.
Right.
Just keep that in mind. This looks to be at least a 3-slot card, at least, if not a 3.5, 3.7 slot card. This is a big card. You can see it in, you know, just how thick it is. I mean, it's definitely a thick card. But that was the first leak, and then we do get the boxes here as well. Again, text is different. Just. Something, and again, text is different.
Maybe it's an updated maybe the NVIDIA's updating, right?
Yeah, yeah. But here's what the card looks like right here. You can see kind of the more. It's kind of like, it's almost like a throwback, it seems. Or like it's, I don't know.
I don't know.
I think, yeah, I like it. It's kind of different. So this is the first one. Again, the Zotac card. And then we have Gigabytes, their RTX 4090 Gaming OC. We get to see the box, just the box of this one.
Ooh, hey, there's that font again.
Yeah, so that font is continuing here. So again, you know, people who might be wanting to make some fake images, the same font carries over from both of them. So unlikely, looks like. And again, I think we've seen this, and this is completely unrelated. Like all of these big brands, big name brands, designer brands, they've all changed their font to be very boring. I don't know. There was like a bunch of stuff I saw like this on Twitter.
Right.
That's,
I think it's stuff, logos and font, you know, like we go through these cycles. I think it's totally normal.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. So,
slimmed down. I don't know. Basic look.
Yeah, but here's the first picture. Old man in the chat. He goes, definitely a thick card. Think computers. That's it's right. It, yeah, THICCCCC. That's type of thing.
That's right. It was a thick one.
And there's, you know, you can see this is what the card's supposed to look like from the leaked photo. More of a boxy card for Gigabyte
that,
here.
Layer, yeah, for sure.
But this again is at least going to be a 3-slot card with a cooler, so yep.
Very tall too,
right? Yeah, very tall card. Here you can see the new connector as well, centrally located, because the PCB looks like it's
the same.
Yeah, and I believe this is a reference PCB, that's why. But yeah, they're kind of using the same design language as Nvidia here, right, with the, you know, this open section
for
the
fan.
Yeah, so interesting stuff to see on the Gigabyte side. And then we have Lenovo. So Lenovo, this picture leaked of a Lenovo Legion gaming PC. Of course, that's their gaming line. This is a pre-built. So if you're looking to, if you don't want to build your own PC, like I said, we always say old man made the smart choice when he got his pre-built. It was a 3080, wasn't it? That was in there, old man.
And what's funny is my boss was looking at a pre-built from HP and Omen at Best Buy that I think is on sale for like $1,200 some. It's a 3080 and a 5800X, 16 gigs of RAM, terabyte drive, right? And I'm like, that card was just selling, you know, for these prices.
Well over that, yeah.
Right?
So, but yeah, this has what's supposedly supposed to be, and again, we see that same font, just saying, right there, you can kind of tell it's different font. We see a very large card that does, again, we know this is not a 3080 or 3090 because you see this connector here. This is the new connector. This is not the one that's on the Founders Edition cards either, because it has the little slot here, which is for the four anchors for, I forget what, but so it's it's a newer card. Supposedly supposed to be 3090. Again, a 3 or 4 slot card. Looks like at least 3.5 slot card here. Big card. So
very long too.
Yeah. Well,
it looks like it's reaching the front of the.
Yeah, the front of the case. Almost. Yeah. So very big card there. So another, again, leaked picture of that. What else do we have as far as 4090 stuff? Again, another picture of a supposed cooler for a 4090. And this thing is just a beast. 13 heat pipes on this one.
That's nuts.
This is supposed cooler for either a 4080 or 4090, we don't know, or both. And this is, again, 13 6-millimeter thick copper heat pipes. 2 heat sink stacks on this one. And these copper heat pipes, they don't make direct contact with the GPU. This is kind of when it's put together. This is the vapor chamber. And then this will, of course, sit on top of the GPU. And then you have these sections for the memory that will cover the memory. So, you know, this card does have TGP of 450 watts and a power limit of 600 watts. So it's going to pull a lot of power. And from all the
so much metal and weight to this card.
I know.
You know.
Yeah, and the thing is, well, again, this is, we assume this is an aftermarket card or an aftermarket cooler. You know, on the cards that we saw, this isn't the Founders Edition cooler. I don't believe so. The interesting thing is, at least on the 3090s, what we think, these are all 3090 leaks. It's all at least three slot, if not, 4090. You know, you're 4090, sorry. If, you know, all at least three slot, if not, you know, 3.5, 3.7 total four slot with the coolers and everything. I think it's going to be the kind of standard as we go forward here, because it just needs all them, you know, all the heat pipes and all the you know, the heat sinks.
When I'm thinking like some of these cards might be so thick, you think of some cases that have vertical GPU mounts, and like, are you getting close to being up against the glass, right, with how thick those are? I mean, yeah. Some allow you to kind of move them back towards the motherboard, but others.
And it's going to be interesting to see too, because you have so many cases that have a vertical GPU mount built in, but that vertical GPU mount is only made for two, maybe
three slots.
It's slotted for two, but you have room for like a 2.5 and a 2.7. You know, like I have a 3090 in my case, and okay, so it's slotted for three. So, and again, it's pretty close to the glass here. So again, if you're doing vertical, some of these cases might not be compatible with a lot of these new cards. Again, we don't know, but I mean, based on what we're seeing, that could be a very good possibility of that. So yeah, we'll see if we just get all new cases, or we have to get these adapters now to do the vertical mounts for all this stuff. You never know. So moving on. We have one more for RTX 4090. EEC, which is the gold mine, that's the regulatory for Europe. Anytime you have to register a product, it goes through the EEC. Basically, that's the easiest way, I guess, to explain it. A bunch of RTX 4090s from Gigabyte have been registered on the EEC. Here's the list. An interesting thing here is we see the 4090 Aorus X. These are the Aorus Extremes. There's, I guess, three of them. I don't know what's the difference between this one and the Aorus XW and the Aorus XWB. What would be the difference? The WB, I assume, is water block.
Possibly. Right? Well, but what's the W for on the other one?
Maybe a W is like a hybrid card that comes with an AIO.
Yeah.
And then this is the normal. This is the normal air cooled card right here.
X24, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
How many SKUs was that? It's like 11.
1, 2.
Yeah, 11.
4, 5, 6. Yeah, 11.
Gosh. Lots of, because you got what, your Wind Forces, right?
Wind Forces, Eagles, Gamings, and then the Aorus E, Aorus M, Aorus X. And then the Aorus XWB and the Aorus XW. Be interesting to see what the difference between those are. I assume WB means water block. Like it has a built-in water block.
Maybe, but, yeah. Maybe it's just like a water block that you add to your custom loop, and the W is a all-in-one solution. I don't know.
Yeah. Old man in the chat says, the 4090 will need a bracket to stop GPU sack. Yeah. The 3090 did as well, especially if you got the Founders Edition. It's just like a big card, very, very big card. So yeah, and like I said, it's going to put off a lot of heat. So definitely, like I said, we'll see when it comes out. But I'm excited for it. Moving on to CPU stuff, slides from the Raptor Lake presentation were leaked. Giving us pretty much all the details on the launch SKUs for Raptor Lake. Of course, that's Intel's 13th generation core processors here. So we have the full SKU cart. We'll go over the main processors really quickly. And again, we knew these were going to be what they were. We're just going to go over the details really quick. The Intel Core i9-13900K, that's a 24-core processor. So 8 performance cores, 16 efficient cores, total of 32 threads on that. That's why I don't like all these core frequencies. Like, they're all, I wish there was just like a base, a boost. Keep
track. Yeah.
Yeah. So the max Intel thermal velocity boost, that's if you have enough cooling, this thing's going to boost up to 5.8 gigahertz. And again, you can go on the website and see the other. I don't want to go over each one because I feel that's going to take a lot of specs. And then we have the Intel Core i7-13700K. That is a 16-core processor. So you're getting 8 performance cores, 8 efficient cores, total of 24 threads on that. And that's the thermal velocity boost is not listed on that. The Intel Turbo Boost Max 3.0 is 5.4 gigahertz, so maybe 5.5, probably 5.6 for thermal velocity boost. And then we have the Intel Core i5-13600K. That is a 14-core processor, so 6 performance cores, 8 efficient cores, total of 20 threads. And this one, again, doesn't have the thermal velocity boost. And it also doesn't have the Intel Turbo Boost on it as well. The performance cores will boost up to 5.1 gigahertz. The efficient cores will boost up to 3.9 gigahertz. So that was one of the big slides that was leaked. So again, we knew these processors were coming out, but core counts have obviously changed. And then speeds have obviously changed there as well. Also, kind of, you know, a difference in the 12th generation compared to 13th generation. Biggest thing is, you know, last generation, you had up to 16 cores and 24 threads. This generation, you have up to 24 cores and 32 threads. The CPU IO is basically the same. So the main difference is you get USB 3.2 Gen 2x2. You had up to 4 of those from the PCH. Now you get 5. Not a massive change, but you do get that. And then the memory, so the base memory for the new architecture will be DDR5 5600. So last generation, it was DDR5 4800. This generation is, DDR5 5600. Everything else is pretty much the same. Again, you're going to be able to run these in your older motherboard. You won't need necessarily a new motherboard to run these. You know, again, you're going to lose certain things if you run them in an older system. But again, this is, we don't even do the TikTok crap anymore. As far as the chipset goes, again, some things have changed, but it's pretty close to being the same. 38 high-speed I/O lanes on both. You get up to, so PCI Express 3.0 lanes went from 16 to 8, but the PCI Express 4.0 lanes from the chipset go from 12 on a 6000 series, or yeah, 600 series chipset to 20. And then I think everything else is basically the same. I think USB is, USB is the same.
Yeah, it's the same.
Yeah, so, so the USB 3.2 Gen 2x2, again, you go,
that makes sense though, that they're shifting more of those lanes up to 4.0.
yeah,
right. It's natural. Yeah,
yeah. So those were the big things that we learned from this leak. This is a pre-launch deck, so we expect to get these final numbers of the thermal velocity boosts and all that stuff from these. TDP of all of these is 125 watts, and then the maximum turbo power it will vary compare on each processor. But we have all those listed in the slide if you guys want to see that as well. So yeah, lots of new stuff coming out. Like I said, we're getting closer and closer to all these new parts being available. I'm pretty excited for that. And we got some stuff from MSI talking about new stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've got some pricing from MSI regarding their X670 motherboards, which are for the new AMD processors. And these prices are kind of surprising, if you ask me. Now, starting off on the lower end, we have the Pro X670-P Wi-Fi, $289 for a motherboard. That's not a bad price, right? Like almost $300 in today's range. But that's the entry. Like, if you just take the a motherboard price, $289 isn't terrible, right? But when you know it's kind of towards the beginning edge of the market, like, okay, things are may get a little scary, because we go up all the way to $1,300 for the Meg X670E Godlike board. Like, that's nuts. Absolutely crazy. But we also have the MPG X670E Carbon Wi-Fi for $480, and the Meg X670E Ace is $700. These are nuts, considering that the X670E Carbon Wi-Fi is $479, and that's like $200 more than the X570S counterpart, right? Like, that's a huge jump from one generation to the next. And I actually went back and looked at my order for my, I know this is comparing MSI to Asus, but, and different generations, but I paid $359 for my Crosshair 8 Hero.
And that's like, in a completely different bracket. Or that's in like I guess that would be like a Meg X670E Ace.
Right. Maybe Crosshair, not quite the Ace, but it's kind of like in between there.
Yeah.
But Crosshair Hero is, I mean, that was kind of the top of the line at the time from them. So that price increase just seems extreme.
This is the first pricing that we've seen from any company on X670. So we don't know if it's going to be uniform across the board. But I'm just like looking at this X670E Godlike, right? It's not like the Intel version that came with the DDR5 and the AIO. This doesn't come with any of that, right?
There's no like water block on here for, you know, custom cooling.
Yeah, and it's the feature set compared to what we've seen on the other from Asus's ROG, the one that we had covered. That is completely decked out, and is probably going to be around the same price. I mean, these prices, I think when I said this, I was like, MSI has lost their damn mind.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we get some additional pieces here. You have this like Envision dashboard, which is a 4.5-inch color IPS LCD.
Yeah, you got that on the...
But it's like, all right. And it's touchable, like, not for $1,300. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's just not... Again, we've seen AMD since Ryzen, you know, especially Ryzen 5000 series. We got that bump in price, not only with the processors, but the motherboards
got a bump.
Yeah. But even like looking at the Pro X670P Wi-Fi, that's a very entry-level board. Again, it's X670. It's not X670E. And it's an entry-level board. For $289, that just seems expensive.
I guess I just,
you know what I mean? And a lot of these are priced, about $200 from their previous counterpart. Most, you know what I mean?
But this one definitely isn't 200 over, because we weren't getting a $90 board, but
the board should be $149.
You think so? About half of that.
Yeah. $199 at the top end, I would say, but $289 is just expensive. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, I agree. Yeah, everything seems high from MSI. Hopefully that's not the case across the board, but MSI isn't going to be the only one with these high prices, right? Nobody would buy them if that was the case. So, I don't see them dropping prices. So I guess maybe we'll just be in for an eye-opening experience when we see prices.
I mean, what do you think like the highest-end Asus board would be? What, $2,000 then?
God, I don't know.
I mean, the Dominus board was $2,000.
Yeah, but that's a monster.
That's what I mean. I mean, but
yeah, I guess you could see close to $2,000 for a board.
Yeah.
Entire build for, yes, I did. There's an entire build for less than $1,300 with a 3080. Yes. And you're getting a motherboard for that here, right? So add in your, you know, what, 7950X and your, you know, DDR5 and your 4090 and
It's expensive.
$10,000 for a build now, right? It used to be like the Maximum PC would do their Dream Machine, you know, and $10,000 seemed like a lot then, and now it's like, oh, that's just what it costs nowadays.
Yeah.
So
Hopefully, well, hopefully graphics cards will be priced well.
Yeah, right? Reasonable.
Yeah.
And available for those prices. Moving on, though, we'll move to NAND flash being restricted on transfer rates for Gen 5 drives in the consumer market. Looks like we're going to be stuck at about 10 gigabytes per second because 3D NAND can't keep up with the controllers.
That makes sense.
Just not going to be quick enough, right?
We saw it with Gen 4.
Right. Just can't keep up. So 10 gigs a second, which is on the lower end of expectations, which is what we knew. Let's see here. What did I want to talk about?
What did you want to talk about?
I had read this earlier, and I thought I had seen something on here I wanted to focus on. But yeah, the PCIe 5x4 interfaces. I don't know what it was I was going to say.
Yeah, basically, you... The NAND's not fast enough yet. And we saw that
it can keep up.
Gen 4 initially too, and when Gen 4 first came out, again, it kind of maxed out at 5,000 megabytes a second.
Right. And we kind of got that second.
Yeah, and then the second gen came out and we're like 7, 6.8, 7. Right. We're seeing some 8, so I think initially we'll see 10, that will go to 12 and then 13.
Push up all the way.
Yeah, push up. So I'm excited for fast drives, super fast drives.
I mean, drives we have now are fast.
Going from like a the highest end Gen 4 to like a Gen 5, you can't notice the difference, but like I just want it because it's fast.
You want that benchmark number. Exactly.
Yeah.
Nelson said, let's show here. And I think that was a little typo, is the Domino's Extreme motherboard. Man, I wish they had a Domino's motherboard, but the Domino's Extreme, cheaper to build than a 4090 GPU and new AMD motherboard.
I don't know. Because the CPU is super expensive.
The CPU to go with it, yeah.
And then you need a case that supports that board.
EATX and a power supply.
Yeah, right. There's a lot of things that go into that. And I think... just in, as far as BIOS updates and driver updates, you're better going with more of a mainstream system.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what I would say. But yeah.
Next up, Corsair announced the K100 Air wireless keyboard with some ultra low profile mechanical switches from Cherry. And I saw this story and I saw another story about some Corsair boards coming out. But I'm glad to see Corsair not totally moving away from Cherry for their switches, right? They've done a lot of in-house switches for some of their more recent keyboards, but I'm glad to see that they haven't totally moved away from Cherry for some products, and this is one that they have kept that relationship with them for the K100 Air wireless keyboard. This thing has some crazy battery life too. I think if you want the RGB lighting on, it was 40 hours, I believe, is 50 hours of light, right? Or of battery life. But if you turn the lights off, you can get up to 200 hours.
That's a lot.
On this keyboard. That's nuts.
It's but so I'm thin a big, too. I love
it is tiny. Keyboards. Like, and I'm a fan of low profile switches. I don't know. This is one where I feel like I would have to use it to get, obviously, to give
at least from these pictures, it doesn't look like the keycap, it looks like the keycaps are flat, and I've reviewed some keyboards that have these flat keycaps.
They're a little harder.
They have to be a little concave a little bit flat is just, it's like it almost feels tough, like rough on your fingers almost. So that's the thing I worry about with this, but I think all the tech that they put into it, it's a beautiful keyboard, super thin
a little on top.
Yeah,
but they're using the like I said, Cherry switches, but they're the MX ultra low profile, like speed switches.
Be typing up a storm.
I feel like it would take a bit to get used to typing on this. Cause if they're, easy to tap and quick, right. Lots of typos. But I definitely give it a shot. Cause I am definitely a fan of low profile keyboards for typing. I don't think we have a page, a price yet.
No, so it's available on 10.4. Let me see it. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, so this is all that they've got on their page, is just like kind of this
preview image. Yeah, and if you click on it earlier. if you click on that, it goes to another page showing.
See, now this image makes it look like they are concaved keys.
Yeah, and this other image kind of does too.
And these, just maybe barely a little.
Have to see. But yeah, I like it. There are, especially in like office setting, like where you're doing a lot of typing, like low profile, just feel like I had that. Oh, what was that Logitech keyboard I had? I still have it.
I have the chair. I moved that Cherry into my office at work and I'm using it. I had a lower end, low profile keyboard with a blue switches, Kale Blue low profiles, and it was a little too loud for me.
Yeah.
So I'm loving using that quiet Cherry keyboard.
I don't know what that Logitech. I reviewed it like years ago, but I used it for so long because, and again, I use it in like in an office setting. At my office that back in Pittsburgh, because again, you don't want to be, and you know, I like Cherry MX Blues, so I'd be clacking around, So I used that for such a long time. So I think this K100 Air from Corsair would be like a better version of that. Cause again, that Logitech was really, and again, the Cherry MX, it gives you, cause that Logitech keyboard had scissor switches, where this will have true mechanical switches, which I prefer. It's Corsair, so it looks good, has all their software. Like, I'd definitely be a fan. I'd guess this is going to be $199. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, once you're talking the aluminum top plate, Cherry switches, and then a battery that sounds like it has pretty good life. Now,
and it uses their wireless it's tech. It uses
it's got the Slipstream, Slipstream, Bluetooth, in USB mode, so lots of connectivity options for this as well. So yeah, I could see $199, maybe $180.
Yeah, $189, $199. I would say that. Yeah, something like that. So, yep. Oh, I got and a package. Did you hear that?
I heard the ping pong. Are you ready to pay $70 for your AAA titles from Ubisoft? Because that's where they're going. So they just recently announced that $70 is going to be the new price point for AAA games. Now, I did see the Skull and Bones. I saw either a trailer for it or it had to have been a trailer. It actually looked kind of cool. I don't know if
you've seen that. Yeah, it does look cool. Yeah, no,
because it looks pretty good, but man, $70. I'm in this spot where I play the games I play now and anything else I don't have time for. So I don't know.
Yeah, and in the land of inflation we live in,
right?
It makes sense. I think we have it in the article. It's like 16.6%.
16.6%. Yep.
Because again, but if you have to remember, initially when we were growing up, mm-hmm. a game was 50, and then I don't know when it went to 60. It went to 60 at some point.
I'm trying to remember when I remember buying Super Mario Brothers 3 on NES, and I think it was $40. Now that's an NES game back when it came out.
Yeah. But,
and then the move over to PC was a little more, like 50, and then
we went to
50 for quite a while.
We went to 60 because I think when I bought somebody, I bought a couple games and they were 60, like the Battlefield, maybe Battlefield 5 was 60. I don't remember, but we went to 60 at some point, maybe within the last 7 years. And then going to, I mean, that's pretty expensive. And when you think about like the age of gamers, $70 is not cheap.
No,
I mean, I didn't like, I remember, I remember games when I was like buying games, like when Gears of War came out, like that was an expensive part. Like, I think it was 50 or 60. Like that was an expensive purchase when I was working at a grocery store. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, so I think, I mean, $70 is not cheap. It's not the first $70 game. NBA 2K21, that came out late 2020. That was $70 the first game.
For a standard edition on that, too.
Yeah, so, going forward, all AAA titles from Ubisoft, like the standard edition is going to be $70. And then your, limited editions or all the special editions are going to be higher than that. And then your season passes are going to be
DLC and subscriptions.
Yeah. So it's And again, I don't know. That's just a lot. I don't know. But again, we're so used to paying like a certain price point that in 5 years we'll be like, oh, it's not a big deal. But I don't know. Who knows? Old man in the chat said, oh, old man in the chat said, Ubisoft Plus is free right now until October 10th. All the games, all DLCs are free to play until then. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, try out some games.
Yeah, try out some games.
As long as you remember to unsubscribe by the 10th. Otherwise, it sounds like...
Is that how that works?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so make sure you do that. Yeah, he said you have to sign up for the subscription service, but then unsubscribe before the 10th. So, yeah. Yeah, old man, get the games for the end of the pod here too. he's always the guy that gets
put them to work.
Get the games, the free games. That's really cool because if you want to check out a game, if from now till October 10th, it's a long time to
demo a game.
Yeah, demo a game. So coming up next week,
I miss game demos. Remember that you get like a CD or something.
CD, I remember just like. Yeah, there was one, I forget what it was called. It was like a gaming magazine that went out of business. It was like
PC. Game Informer?
Or... No, it was something else. But in any case, it came with a CD and it would have like demos and other cool stuff and even software. It was cool stuff. So talking about what we have coming up next week. We have Ryan's taking a look at the Crave Power Pack 2.
Yeah.
50,000
I pulled it out, but it's in my 50,000 milliamp hour battery. This thing it weighs as much as my Dell laptop, and I have it in my work bag because I've been using it at work, just with my testing and everything, and charging up my Dell laptop at work, and then like throwing a phone on it at the same time. Power delivery up to 100 watts on one of the Type-C connections, so tons of power here to charge your devices.
How big is it? Like, is it big?
It's like, I mean, I guess it's like compared to like, it's like a little over an inch thick, right? It's like a small book.
See, I like the size of this. So I have, but that's fine. So like, I have a couple of these, but they're like, the one I have is really big. It's like too big to take with me. And the other one I have is like kind of like a cylinder, but it's like, it's just not conducive to put in a backpack. Mm-hmm. But this would be nice because here in San Diego, there's so many cool places where you can like work, but like there's no
access to power.
The power connections are few and far between. I remember the one time I was telling you that I was like working, and then my laptop said I had 4 hours left, and then it just like turned off.
just kidding.
Yes. Yeah. So it would be nice to have some like portable power that I could take with me that was like good enough for like 3 or 4 hour work session. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Shinny
asked if it was like two DVD cases stacked, a little wider, a little taller, and then probably as much as three stacked. So
it has two USB type C ports, two USB type A. The type A's support quick charge 3.0. The type C's one is 100 watt
power delivery. Yep.
And one is 60 watt. Nice. Correct. I like it. Yeah.
That's very cool.
I need to get me one of these things. And then I'll be taking a look at a case, which I'm finishing reviewing today. The review goes up tomorrow morning. It is, I can't tell you who it's from, but it's from a pretty big known company. And it's from a pretty big known line of theirs as well. It's the biggest case that I've reviewed all year. So it's huge. It's massive.
Okay.
Pretty excited to tell you guys about that. Also have a networking product coming as well from a big company, gaming networking product next week as well. So stay tuned for all of that stuff. Anything tech related on your end besides around your book?
I'm going to share this real quick. So I think I talked last week about Stable Diffusion, like the AI art, didn't I?
Yeah.
So I got it running on my local machine. I have it running right now. And this is an installation that provides you with a web interface to generate. It's like super, it makes it 10 times easier. So like the default prompt is a photograph of an astronaut riding a horse. So if I just hit make image, and it's going to do some work here in the background, it's, running some work, so it's doing its thing, and it's going to provide us with this image here in a second. So like think of a prompt to give this thing, and we will we'll provide it. Like, so there's
wonder if it has like our, like, put like my full name.
Okay,
B-U-S-K-R-K, and then be like, yep. Surfing.
Surfing. Okay. And then let's do ultra realistic, high detail.
I don't think it's going to work. I don't think there's enough pictures
of me out there. It probably won't bring you in, but we'll see what it says. All right. So we're going to let it ride here. And that image took, I didn't show it here, but let's see how long it's going to take us. 10, 11, about 15 seconds probably for this to render.
Okay.
Yeah, 15 seconds.
Oh, there's me.
So there's Bob surfing. Look at that. Right? But you can,
there's like
advanced settings and
let's do another one. Let's
in the art style of something. All right, what's up?
Let's do
here, I'll do one.
I can't read that.
Futuristic liquid cool.
Oh, this is the one we saw before, yeah.
Well, that was a different
AI.
And then we'll say like cyberpunk colors, high detail. We'll just go with that. Make image. Origins was fun. I'm playing. Let's see here. It's gonna draw some random pop it said. Yeah, that's funny. All right, so we'll get this. But anyways, like tons of fun to play with. There's a lot of people that are really good at these prompts, and you can actually see, there we go, there's a futuristic liquid cooled computer with cyberpunk colors, sort of.
Nice. Yeah, sort of. Yeah, no, that's right. Cool. We've seen these, and I've seen a bunch of that on Twitter as well, and I mm-hmm. think it's super super cool. Yeah, and some of the art, like people are making this art and then selling it or
yeah
whatever. Some of it's really really cool. So well, that's cool. I'm glad you got that up and running.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. That's the only tech thing you've done this week.
Yeah. And really all that was like searching for Stable Diffusion GUI, finding a project that had it, download an executable, let it run, and then it just does its thing. So yeah.
I've just been working on reviews, but you guys know I'm a camera person. So both the GoPro Hero 11 and the DJI Osmo Action 3 came out on the same day. There's a bunch of videos. I always look at Potato Jet. He's like a big camera reviewer guy. He has a comparison of both of them, which I watched earlier today. If you're into action cameras, all new tech, a lot of cool stuff in both of these. I have the Hero 10 currently, which I love. So yeah, really cool stuff to see from both of these cameras. So if you're into that, you can go ahead and check it out. Or just like I said, all the reviews came out either yesterday or today. So you can check that out if you're into cameras or anything like that. So yeah. Did we get the games?
It was Spirit of the North is an open world exploration game, which is free on Epic tomorrow. And The Captain, an adventure indie game, is also free tomorrow.
Yeah, so those are good till 10 a.m. tomorrow. So if you're listening to this now, go ahead and grab those on the Epic Game Store.
He wanted to see RetroCat. Oh, good.
Sorry. Shani said that great. Assassin's Creed Origins is free on Prime right now, it looks like, too. So lots of free games, man. Always just so much stuff. Like if you're ever one of those people like, oh, I don't know what to play, there's always free games that you can just kill some time with or whatever. So
there you go, old man. There's your RetroCat future apocalypse.
That's funny.
And then you can download them, right? Or I could use this as an input, and then I could say like you could give it like an artist style or
what do you call the block style, like 8-bit? Can you put like 8-bit
style? Yeah, and it'll make it so I'm using this as a reference, so it's gonna like upload this and then pull it back down, so it'll take a second here to do that. Running EPS prediction mode, blah blah blah, doing its thing.
Let's see
what do we end up with here?
Hopefully it's cool. Oh, hell yeah. Sort of.
So kind of changed it up a little bit.
Yeah, made it a bit. That's cool.
But you awesome. Can keep tweaking things. Yeah, no, it's fun.
Very cool. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and end things because we could play with that AI thing pretty much all night. But thanks, everybody, for coming out. We are going to jump over to Twitch. twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Ryan, of course, has that stream. He will be your guide through us being very mediocre at Apex.
We're trying to get Shinny to 1,000 kills.
Yeah, we didn't happen last week, so we're gonna go ahead and do that. So definitely head on over there if you want to continue hanging out with us. Again, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Thanks everybody for coming out. Of course, we had Old Man, we had Nelson, Shinny in the chat, and everybody else. We appreciate you, and we will see. Actually, we won't see you next week because Ryan is going on vacation. We might have somebody else on, or we'll do like a special. What's it called?
Pre-recorded or something.
Yeah, pre-recorded episode. We'll see what we have going on, see how busy I get over this next week. So until next time, catch you guys later.